Second Timothy.
Along about verse 7 is where we ended last time. Paul says, consider what I say, so we've had a week to do that.
Yes.
Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember. Why? You're the elder. You're ordained. You're ordaining other guys. You've got an assembly and in a hard place, and I've trusted you with that, and I've equipped you. Remember the first things? Remember the simplest things? Do you get a feel for why I, at least, if I'm the only one, so be it, but why I think that 2 Timothy is really a remedial message to Timothy, because Timothy's gotten cold feet and is ashamed and is troubled? That's why we hold Onesiphorus up to him, and that's why we start over with so many things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Every indication in that last portion of verse 9 that Paul would be free and running around town if he was repenting and getting people baptized and telling them to endure to the end and keep the law. He suffers trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, because of his gospel.
Yes.
The my gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you tell people the gospel of the kingdom in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not the same as Paul's gospel, you will have people, what do you mean? There's more than one plan of salvation in the Bible. You will have people get very upset and antagonistic with you. Well, you can be grateful that they're not the people in charge of the prison. You'd be locked up with Paul.
Yes.
See, you become an evildoer, not because you call yourself a Christian.
No.
Not because you carry around your Bible. You become an evildoer when it's Paul's gospel and not, oh, look at me, I'm being nice, I'm doing good, I'm turning the other cheek, I'm tithing, I'm living for Jesus. Look at me, look at me, look at me. When you shoot a hole in that balloon, they're so deflated they have to take it out on somebody, and you're handy. So Paul says he suffers trouble as an evildoer. Now, we know that Jesus Christ was of the seed of David. We understand that. What is missed is Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, about the difference between the seed, singular, and the seeds, many.
Yes.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. I went to Wally World, got a bag of seed, thistle seed, to feed my goldfinches who are rapidly turning color from green to gold. It's a bag of seed. There's not but one seed in it? No, there's tens of thousands of seeds in the bag of seed. So, seed is a funny word. You can have a bag of seed, and there's lots of them. So, there's seeds many. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as to one, as of one, and to thy seed, singular, which is Christ. So we're not a part of the seeds many, which is Israel's seed of Abraham. We're of a singular seed, Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant is confirmed before God, and we can read all the way down through verse 25 in Galatians chapter 3 and find out that the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, and we're no longer under the law. We can find out we have no more need of a schoolmaster in verse 25. Israel always is associated with the schoolmaster. Even in its new covenant, God puts it in them, It's in their hearts. He causes them to walk in His statutes. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 8 to 10, Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34, and Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24 and 25. God always associates Israel with the law. You're never associated with it beyond its being a schoolmaster, and then you're done with it. So, Jesus Christ, yes, He's the seed of David. That does not then make me part of Israel as the multiplied seed, but a part of Christ as that singular seed identified in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. Have you ever noticed how many 3:16s in your Bible are our first verses? He's raised from the dead. Now, that's good news. In Luke chapter 24, here Jesus shows up in verse 17 and says, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? They were not looking forward to the cross. They did not have the cross preached to them as good news. They are sad. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which have come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Didn't happen. Bummer. And beside all this, this is the third day since these things were done. No colored eggs. No bunny rabbits.
Nope.
No white patent leather shoes on anybody. They're not happy about it. How many times has it been taught in pulpits around the world, and certainly across America and England, that Isaiah chapter 53 speaks to the Lord Jesus Christ and how we can see back then that everyone was looking forward to the cross? Well, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That's what Peter tells his men in 1 Peter chapter 2. All we like sheep have gone astray, have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to slaughter, as a sheep before the shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He has made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death. Oh, see, there's Lazarus, and that's the expensive tomb that he was put in. You get all this stuff, right? Anything about the resurrection show up yet?
No.
And because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, yet put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and to the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my servants, righteous servant, justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him on a portion with the great, he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors, and bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. I don't see a resurrection there. He's a sacrifice. What happens to any sacrifice in the Jewish ordinance of sacrificial offerings? They die. And they stay dead.
Yes.
The Levites eat some of them. Hmm? been looking forward to the cross is not borne witness to by their primary passage.
Mm-hmm. Plus, we've demonstrated any number of times in places where even the disciples had no clue that it was going on. And you know what?
People talk about Jesus and, oh, how he was a self-sacrificer, and I need to live a life of self-sacrifice. They'll make him a pattern and take the supernatural resurrection from the dead out of it. And Paul makes it very, very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because he says it not once, not twice, but three times. If you don't believe in the resurrection, you believe in vain. Mm-hmm. Oops. So, he was raised from the dead, Paul says. Raised from the dead according to what? Certainly not according to Luke 24. Certainly not according to Isaiah 53. He was raised from the dead according to my gospel.
That's right.
Which Paul uses that term three times, where we are, and also Romans 2:16 and Romans chapter 16, verse 25. So, Jesus went about all Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. It's important to see the gospel of the kingdom is out there in, what is that, Matthew 4? It's important to see he's instructed others to teach the gospel of the kingdom, and they get out doing that in Matthew chapter 10. 12 chapters after Christ is preaching the gospel of the kingdom, 6 chapters after the 12 are out there preaching the gospel of the kingdom, Peter tries to stop the cross from taking place in Matthew chapter 16. So don't tell me the gospel of the kingdom is looking forward to the cross when the prince of apostles, who's got binding and loosing power, tries to say, suffer it not to be so, Lord. And the Lord rebukes him.
Yes.
We've seen in Matthew chapter 17, verse 22 and 23, they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised, and they were exceeding sorry. Not looking forward to the cross. We've seen it also in Mark chapter 9, verses 31 and 32, and I pointed out to you innumerable times in Luke chapter 9, verses 44 and 45, that it was hid from them, this business of the death, burial, and resurrection, which is why he says on the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. If they'd have known, looking forward to the cross, this is great. Yeah. You're going to die for our sins. He wouldn't have had to say what he said.
That's right.
So because Paul is telling people it's the resurrection, what was the problem with the Sadducees? They said the resurrection took place already. There is no resurrection to come. That's why they were saved. That's how you remember their doctrine.
Yeah, okay.
No resurrection. That we've been saved. Then here comes Paul. Resurrection he's talking about. He's talking about all sorts of goofy things that aren't the works of the flesh and aren't the works of the law. He's talking about adoption and redemption and imputation and justification and propitiation. Good night, Nelly. Where'd he get that? Well, he got it from the resurrected Lord, who came to Paul in Acts chapter 9 and after and delivered to Paul my gospel, as he calls it. The gospel of the grace of God, wherein Paul says, I suffer trouble. As an evildoer, the first time somebody told me that I had blasphemed the Holy Ghost, I thought, that's not a nice thing to say to somebody. But I was suffering trouble as an evildoer.
That's it.
A blasphemer.
Yes.
Of the Holy Ghost. It only got worse. Mm-hmm. I had people cursing me.
Oh, yes.
In Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Isn't the love of
Jesus. Mm-hmm. Something wonderful. Yeah.
Well, Paul suffers trouble even on the vines.
Yes.
The King James Bible's leading mid-Acts Pauline dispensationalist is likewise going to suffer trouble.
Yes.
Were Bible-believing mid-Acts dispensationalism accepted, the Baptists would have to shut down, the Methodists would have to shut down, the Presbyterians would have to shut down, the Catholics might get saved.
Yes. Glory.
Wonderful things would happen. But what we teach is a threat to the organizational, denominational power structure that exists.
Yes.
We're a threat. We're not just a threat to Darwinian evolution, secular humanism. We're a threat to the Methodists. We're a threat to the Baptists.
Yes.
We're a threat to the Church of God in Christ. We're a threat. Why, what you're saying means we're wrong.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. John R. Rice wrote a book, What Happens When Christians Sin? Two Church of God Anderson preachers were in my store. And they're looking up and down the aisles, and they came to John R. Rice's book, What Happens When Christians Sin? They started guffaws, I mean, out loud, laughing. What a stupid question! You lose your salvation. That's what happens when a Christian sins. That was their belief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, we had a discussion.
Yeah.
And it was fine. The older of the two said, if you're right, and he pointed across the street to the Salem Avenue Church of God, which was still there before Bethesda Temple bought it. He said, if you're right, then everything we're teaching over there is wrong.
Glory.
I shook his hand and said, at least we understand each other.
Yes.
There you go.
They don't take it literally. It's all allegorical. I say they're wrong. They think that they are a grafted in part of Israel. They're wrong.
Yep.
They think that they can lose it because it's still conditional with covenants. They're wrong. So, yes. If what I'm saying is true, and they pointed at their church across the street, which is a mega church now out there in Clayton.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Trout Pond. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a church with a trout pond.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I like trout.
We'll take you out for
just fly fish for trout. That's fun. They're painful fishing. Like driving a Geo Metro. There's spin fishing. That's like driving a Buick. Then there's the fire rod. That's the Lamborghini. That's artsy. That's all in this verse, man. We read between the lines. We find the fishing lines. As a mid-Acts Pauline dispensational right divider, you're a lonesome fella.
Yep.
The guy who is completing the Dispensational Bible Institute in Japan has nowhere he can go in Nagasaki to talk to anybody about any of this. Nagasaki, you say, well, I guess that makes sense. Well, it's also true in Atlanta, Detroit. It's true in a lot of places.
Yeah.
There's nobody you can talk to about it. There was a friend of mine, I really liked the guy. We had a lot of fun conversations, and he was struggling. I mean, he had his church was two steps up from a storefront, and it was just a ramshackle old kind of a building, and he was doing the best he knew how. It was on one of the cross streets between Salem and Germantown, and just an all-around nice guy. And he walked in one day, and I thought, something's different. Usually, he had decent looking clothes. Today, he was sharp. Usually, he had a good spirit about him. Today, he was giddy. Southern Baptists had given you a free loan. That was their terminology.
Yeah.
And so we'll buy you a building, we'll loan you the money. You don't have to pay it back.
Yeah.
It's a free loan. But it is a loan because you have to be a Southern Baptist. You have to take our Sunday school material. You have to teach our lessons. You have to give missionaries. You have to send your kids to our schools. So it was free money-wise, but not without entanglements.
Mm-hmm.
So he became a Southern Baptist, just like that.
Yeah.
He got his free loan.
Yeah.
There is no convention waiting in the wings for an upcoming mid-Acts Pauline dispensational reminder to say, I got a free loan for you. It ain't going to happen.
No.
No 401k.
No.
No denominational support.
No.
A real good chance his wife doesn't understand everything he's saying. And I'm so grateful. So she's a student. And she dug in, she got it, gets it, teaches it. But that's rare.
Yeah.
That's rare. One fellow who's quite into the wonderfulness of me in a Peter Pan sort of way, I've learned it, and look how wonderful I am. His wife's back there in the dust. And I'm saying to him, I don't want to hear any more about what you're doing until you get that fixed.
Yes.
So I haven't heard a word from him. He's too busy being wonderful. But I watched more than once family split.
Yeah.
One rightly divides and has assurance of salvation, and the other one is tenuous and hanging by a thread, hanging over hell by a heartbeat if they lose it. And, oh, God's mad at you because your car crashed and all of that kind of stuff. And just, your belief system steers you.
Yes.
And the grace steering mechanism and the law steering mechanism are going two different places.
Yes, they are.
So you suffer trouble as an evil doer. I'm not shocked when there are people who don't understand mid-Acts Pauline dispensational right division. It is a bit disquieting when they get so nasty, some of them.
Yeah.
So mean-spirited, some of them. But it does happen. Within the group of mid-Acts Pauline dispensational folks, there are some who call themselves mid-Acts and Pauline, but what they teach is Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian.
Yeah.
And when you try to deal with that, it's just the same as dealing with a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian, and they get just as angry, just as defensive,
yeah,
and just as much the backstabber.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe better because they're closer to you.
Yeah.
So, the mid-Acts Pauline Bible-believing dispensationalist is, I've said to Carol probably 100 times, like a salmon swimming upstream to his death. We've got some things going for us.
Yes.
Like the Bible.
Yes.
When that lady from Carol's store came to Grace Bible and I saw the light bulb go on, I saw she got it. I said something, she looked at me funny. She saw it.
Yeah.
I saw it just like in a cartoon, the light bulb.
Mm-hmm.
And she comes up to me afterwards. Who else believes like you do?
Yeah.
My smart aleck answer was, when you saw the verses, apparently Paul in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Not good enough.
Nope.
She needed some other means of identification of rightness or wrongness other than God's Word. Big crowd is generally what most folks are looking for.
Yes.
Now, being a stranger in a foreign land is what Christians are taught to be with respect to Christianity versus the world system, secular humanism and evolution and all of that kind of business. You're a stranger in a foreign land when it comes to the church world.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
the Episcopalian Church right up here on Smithville has a sign out front. No, right here on Woodman has a sign out front. Everyone welcome. We drive by. Carol says, let's go in and see if that's true or not. Because I'm pretty sure we'd be out on our ear.
Oh, yeah.
And it wouldn't take terribly long for that to happen when I started tearing down icons.
Oh, yeah.
As all these blue-eyed Jesus saint pictures and that kind of stuff. So, we're not martyrs.
No.
We're doing what we're supposed to do.
Yes.
We're not special. We're doing what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
But we are doing what we're supposed to do. And the people that aren't resent that.
Yes.
Unsaved people have a visceral dislike for Christianity. They'll call us goody goody two shoes, and you think you're better than I am. Mm-hmm. That was never on the issue. That was never on the table. Mm-hmm. They're just resentful.
Yeah.
The fact that you don't cuss makes them mad enough to cuss.
Yes.
They're just resentful. Would that simply were our relations with the unsaved people, but it's our relations with church folks, which also may, by the way, may be unsaved people. So we're not in an enviable position when it comes to what the world thinks of us. We're in the best position we could possibly be, complete in Christ Jesus. We know it. It's a funny thing, I suppose. People start with a Bible study that expands to maybe they have formal meetings once a week or once a month someplace, and eventually they get something up and running. There's almost always a transition point where they become more oriented toward their assembly's success than they are oriented toward right doctrine. And that is a very critical breakpoint. You can't let yourself forget why you started in the first place. And it wasn't about nickels, noses, numbers, and notoriety. It was about teaching something that hardly anybody teaches because hardly anybody knows it.
Yes.
I expected to be punched in my own assembly parking lot by a man who wanted to tithe. Tithing was something he was very proud of having done.
Oh, yes.
And when I taught that's the law, and you purpose in your own heart, actually, if you're only going to give the 10%, you're not truly tithing, because there were 3 10% tithes. And why would you want to limit your giving to 10% when you are bought with a price? I thought he was bad enough to strike me. I mean, really.
Mm-hmm.
Going to have a fight in the parking lot.
Yeah.
At the Grange Hall on the Easy Road. Funny. Would it not have been to my advantage to not raise that issue and let him give the 10%? Aren't there other things I could talk about? Could I not have acquiesced? Well, if the Lord's leading you that way, brother, you go ahead.
No.
Sure, there's things you can do. Why? There's hardly any group of people any more sly than preachers.
Amen.
I'm sorry, that's true.
Yes.
But, you know, politicians and preachers and used car dealers all go to the same school.
Yes.
Instant best friends, instant gratuitous statements, we love you.
Yeah.
Kick the tires. Mm-hmm. So, when Paul suffers trouble as an evildoer, we need to learn that's coming.
Yes.
We need to learn. That's our Pauline pattern. That is our lot in life. I
I've been told I worship Paul. Not true. I've been told I disregard most of the Bible. Not true. Things have been said. Not true. Why are they said? I have to be stigmatized as being an evildoer.
Yes.
If you've read my book, Shot at and Missed, I carefully point out how Dr. Ruttman uses a propaganda technique to stigmatize all dispensations by likening us to Seventh-day Adventists and Jehovah's Witnesses. Mm-hmm. And then he takes Acts 28 dispensationalism, he takes O'Hare, he takes Sam, and he throws us all in the same bucket, the purpose of which is to find any error in any of them so thereby he can kick the whole bucket and we all go.
Yes.
I don't appreciate being associated with, he says, they're as bad as the old ones. Really? Doc Pete, I understand you're not trying to be kind, so I'm not looking for kindness. I understand you're not trying to flatter, so I'm not looking for flatteries. But truth would be nice.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
As he would say, well, yeah, there's that. It's funny, every once in a while somebody would tell me, well, Ruttman said this or Ruttman said that. I've read every one of his 109 books.
Yep.
I have listened to more than 2,000 hours of his tapes. Don't tell me about Pete, I'll tell you about Pete.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He stayed at my house for a week. How much time you spent with him?
Yep.
So when he attacks, I notice something. And I learned it from Dr. Pete Ruttman. When he uses the most vitriolic language, when he says the meanest, nastiest things, when he uses the most adverbs and adjectives, is exactly when his argument is the weakest.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And that's called smoke.
Yes.
Why, he no more believes the Bible than Elvis Presley and Greta Garbo. You know, he goes on and on and on and on with name calling and all that kind of stuff. He says there's no such thing as a mid-Acts dispensationalist who is a Bible believer. Well, if you believe the Bible, you'd be a Baptist, right? So let's not think that you are Oscar Mayer, the wiener for whom the world is waiting. You're not. And with all of that, and Paul being treated as an evildoer, even on the bond, suffering trouble, he says, I don't like the way this is going.
No.
This isn't looking good.
No.
I need to back away a little bit. So pause, consider what I say. Verse 8. Let's go back to square one and start over. Son.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's over my gospel that I'm suffering trouble. Mm-hmm. As an